Thank you, worship team. I also have a quick announcement that there is the play going to be in the downstairs today at 3. It's the last chance you have to see the Carol Burnett compilation play. So if you'd like to come to that, we'd love to have you represent our church at that. So thank you for those who have come. Also, as Mark said, I want to wish all the mothers a happy Mother's Day. I don't know what we'd do without our mothers. My mother, I wouldn't trade her for the world. She's amazing. So I hope you had an opportunity to thank a mother in your life today. We started a sermon series last week called Big Faith. And we talked about how Jesus, when in the Bible, he was awe and inspired by big faith. When he saw faith, it just moved him. And so in part, we want to have extraordinary faith. I want everyone in this room, if we come up against a storm in life, we can say, I don't like this, I don't understand it, why is it happening? But I hope that everyone can settle their hearts and say, I have confidence that the Lord will get me through it because your faith in him is strong. And that you know that he will always be with you. Now, as I have been preaching for many, many years, I have always tried to preach the gospel, preach the message, and to reach people that maybe don't understand or haven't heard the message. Because I think the message of the gospel, a message of Jesus, is nearly irresistible. That if we can understand that he loved us, that he died to forgive us, that he provided a path for us to be holy in God's eyes, that he came to give us life, didn't come to judge and destroy, but he came to fix things between us and God, it's irresistible. It's amazing. And I think that culture, the church as a whole sometimes changes the message and sometimes points out things that make it difficult for people to be a part of the church. But I think the powerful, simple gospel is irresistible. It's powerful. That sometimes as churches grow, there's a temptation to change from being a church for unchurched people, which is what we try to do, to be a church that we grow personally, but we create a church that will reach unchurched people, reach lost people. But sometimes churches, when they grow, kind of change to let's church the churched people. They move from we don't care about the unchurched people, we have the people we want, now we need to like make it comfortable and happy for us. And I think that's when the unchurched people come to church and think, okay, this isn't for me, because they're right, it's not, it's for the people who are already churched. So there's a balance to keeping church relevant for us who know the word and know the Lord and want to grow, and to be relevant for someone who just doesn't know the Lord, who is searching, who's wondering, who has questions, who wants to meet Jesus, that it's a balance. And many churches do it right, and sometimes churches miss that. One of the things that we started last week is that there are some powerful ways that our faith can grow. And if you search through the Bible, I found four or five different categories of faith builders. Last week, we talked about the first one that I wanted to share with you, and that is practical biblical preaching. It is a powerful faith-building tool that when done right and when it's given something that we can challenge us with, not just information, but information that you can apply to your life, it is powerful. It's faith-building. Probably everyone in here can think of a sermon you've heard in your life that built your faith. A sermon that you've heard that you thought you went home and it made you a little closer to God. It challenged you. You were able to apply it to your life and build your faith. Today I want to give you another big faith builder in our life. And I'm calling that providential relationships. And one of the ways that God builds our faith is with people. That people have the ability to challenge us, to instruct us, to redirect us, to build our faith. And let me just kind of prove it to you this way. If you took just a moment and thought, I want you to think in your life of a person who either built your faith or maybe got you interested in faith in the first place. Can everybody think of someone? Turn to the person next to you and tell them the name of that person that built your faith or got you, or you could kind of go back and be like, I'm here today because of grandma or somebody. Go ahead. Turn. Tell someone who built your faith. Probably the people next to you know it anyway. And the reason I do that silly little thing is because people had a made a they built your faith in life. That I can think back to many people. I can think to my grandmother. That I would, every time I went to her house, she'd read scripture. This was back in the day, she'd be watching TBN. Anybody remember TBN? I don't even know if it's on anymore, but she'd watching TBN. And she'd pray with us and talk to us. She's always, always talking about faith. And then I remember when I first met my wife, who was my girlfriend, that she took this category of I totally believed in God to God has a plan for me. She helped me to see that in my life. Is a huge faith builder. And then when I started growing in faith and I met someone who for a time in their life mentored me, his name was Colonel Robert Haynes. He was a pastor in New Hampshire. And he kind of pushed me into thinking that this is what it takes to be a pastor. It takes me not, he always would say, less Michael and more God in your life. Sometimes it was hard to hear, but it was a faith builder. He made me think. And think, if I really wanted to go into ministry, it's going to take less of what I want and more of what God wants. And then when I got into ministry and was in Bible college, I met a man named Pastor James. And Pastor James was young, older than me, but he was a young youth pastor in this big mega church, had tattoos, and he was really cool, but he was a powerful man of God. And in fact, he called me last week just to check in on me. And he challenged my faith into how to stay in ministry, how to make ministry work for your family, how to keep your devotion with God even when that's your job to do it. And all these people, and probably many more, I can look back and they were faith builders in my life. And I'm sure that you can all think of people who built your faith, who challenged you. Most of you are here because of a mother or a grandmother or a person in your life that said, we need to go to church. And it stuck because your faith was grown. Then everyone's faith story, when you hear people who came back to church, and everyone's story, I used to do this series at our last church in Hollowell, where it would be testimony day. And people get up and give their testimonies of coming back to faith. And almost all of them had I was living my life for myself. I was doing my own thing, and I met this girl, this guy, this friend, this professor, this Christian, this pastor. I met this person, and things changed. That God uses people to build our faith. And the opposite is also true. Is if I told you to think for a minute of something that you, maybe your greatest regret, something that you did wrong, something that you wish that you could redo and that you would never do again, you probably could track it down to a person being influential. A bad habit that you picked up or something that happened in your life, you could probably go back and say, yeah, there was a person that undermined my faith there. There was a bad relationship, a bad friendship, a bad ex this or that that really kind of pulled me down because people have the ability to encourage our faith or to pull our faith down. Solomon wrote this observation in Proverbs 13:20. Walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. Solomon, the smartest man, he writes in the Bible this simple idea like, yeah, no kidding, but it's so powerful. He says, walk with the wise. Even if you're not wise, hang out with wise people and it rubs off. You become wise. Lots of that's true in not just spiritual things. It's true in marriage. You hang out with someone who's got a great marriage, it starts to rub off. You see how that marriage works. You hang out with someone who's great with investing or finances or money, you see how they use their money and how they save their money or invest their money, spend their money, it starts to rub off. The flip side, you hang out with someone who's terrible with money and blowing it on everything, that can rub off. That you walk with wise, you become wise, but associate with fools and get in trouble. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33 says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good morals. Don't be misled. Don't be lied to. Bad company, hanging out with bad people, the wrong people, can corrupt your morals, can pull you away, can destroy your faith. And so hang out with good people, spiritual people, helps you to grow. That people have an impact on each other. And that's good and bad news. It's great news for the church because one of the reasons that we don't just accept Jesus as our Savior and immediately ascend into heaven is because we are called for community. He never says, I want you to become a Christian, and it's a solo thing you do on your own. You never talk to anybody, and when you die, nobody ever knew. It's something we do together. It's a movement. So we call it the ecclesia. It's a movement surrounded by Jesus, following Jesus, wherever he goes, of like-minded people. That we're called for community. We're called to do this together. We're called to rub off on each other. As iron sharpens iron, we're called to, we need each other, in other words. So providential relationships, good relationships, God-sent relationships are huge faith builders in our life. I want to look to you at the Old Testament. We're going to be in Numbers chapter 13. And in Numbers chapter 13, we're going to look at a group of people who had to choose between listening to wise people or foolish people. And it's a story you've all heard, but I want to pull it out again. It powerfully proves this point about relationships and how powerful they can be. So the background, Moses sends 12 spies into this land that God had promised the Israelites. So they've been following God out of slavery. God performed powerful miracles. Crazy things happened. He, you know, had this pillar of fire and this cloud of his presence that followed, that directed them, that led them. And now they get to this promised land. This is where they've been going. This is what they're waiting for. So Moses sends 12 people, one leader from each tribe of Israel, out into this land to see what it looks like. And he tells them really clear details. He said, I want you to see what they're growing, see how the soil is. I want you to see their strongholds, see what the people are like, good or bad, and come back and report. So these 12 leaders go out into this, and they walk around this countryside for 40 days, and they come back, and they report what they see. And I want to start to you in Numbers chapter 13, starting in verse 31. It says this, "We can't go against them. They are stronger than we are." So they spread this bad report about the land among the Israelites. "The land we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes there to live. All the people we saw were huge. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers, and they thought that of us too." So they come back, and they're like, they bring these grapes. That takes two men to carry these grapes. So, and they say, I've skipped a couple parts. They say, yeah, the land is flowing with milk and honey. The land's perfect. It's beautiful. But we can't go there because there's scary people there. And it's powerful. Like, I love the history of the Bible. And he says, there are giants there. We even saw giants, descendants of Anak. And I want to just as quick point out a parallel verse for you because it's so interesting. That they weren't kidding. There actually were giants there. They weren't just saying, yeah, they were scary people with some big walls, but there was actually giants there. If you skip to Genesis chapter 6 for just a minute, there's this, I want to read you just four verses. It makes you think for sure. Genesis chapter 6, starting in verse 1. "When human beings began to increase in number on earth, and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of humans were beautiful, and they married any of them they chose. The Nephilim were on earth in those days and also afterwards. When the sons of God went to the daughters of humans and had children with them, they were the heroes of old, men of renown." So this verse we read in Numbers chapter 13 of the descendants of Anak is citing this Genesis chapter 6, this Nephilim. Now the Nephilim are half angels, essentially. They're angels and humans that had children. And so they were huge, huge giants. And that's one of the reasons why God sent the flood, that he was done with the corruption in the world. And so when they report back, they're not lying. There's some scary strongholds there. That it's going to take faith to conquer this land. But they just see the scary. 10 of them go out and they see the nice land, but their faith is weak. They only are trusting in themselves and not the Lord. And if they're trusting themselves, they're like, yeah, we can't beat the giants up. We're going to lose. But, and we're going to go back to Numbers 13, verse 30. "But Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. Let us go at once to take the land, he said. We can certainly conquer it. Go to the next chapter, chapter 14, verse 8, and says, and if the Lord is pleased with us, he will bring us safely into that land and give it to us. It is a rich land flowing with milk and honey. Do not rebel against the Lord, and don't be afraid of the people of the land. They are only helpless prey to us. They have no protection, but the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them. So you have two very different perspectives. You've got, they are like prey to us because the Lord is with us. And you have, they're giants, and they thought of us as little tiny people, and we thought of them as giants, and we surely can't possibly win. Two different perspectives. Two different faiths. I believe 10 of them had all they thought of is, can we take them? Can our armies take them? And two of them said, can God take them? Can God give us this land, or is God smaller than those giants, than those people in the land? Two different perspectives. Just like, and maybe not in, obviously in this instance, but we also face circumstances and challenges like that in our life. That oftentimes there's two perspectives we have. There's a faith perspective, and there's a can I do it on my own perspective. And I believe God wants us to have faith. Faith to do what he's called us to do. Faith to run the race he's set before us. Faith to know that he's with us every step of the way. Know that if we fall, he's going to pick us up. Know that if we counter something that we can't do on our own, that he is going to be there. He is going to be our strength and our shield, our sword. We have two perspectives. They're giants. I can't beat them. Or we can surely take them because God is with us. Well, that's the Israelites. They, scripture says that they weep all night, complain, that they listen to the 10 over the 2. And they come up with this idea. They're like, let's stone Joshua and Caleb, who were the two that said, let's go. We can do this. Let's choose a new leader, and let's go back to Egypt and be slaves again. That was their ingenious plan. This is too scary for us. At least in Egypt, we weren't going to be killed by the descendants of Anak. Let's go back and ask Egyptians to take us back in as slaves. Now, God hears this, and this is what God says in Numbers chapter 14, verse 28. As surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you what the very things I heard you say. You will all drop dead in the wilderness. Every one of you who is 20 years old or older will die, except for Joshua and Caleb. I tell you that very uplifting story because the truth is God uses human relationships to challenge and grow our faith. That he uses human relationships to grow our faith, that providential God-directed relationships are faith builders. So in light of that scripture, there's kind of three quick points I want to pull out. Number one is, if you have bad relationships in your life, you should get rid of them. Now, I'm not saying that every person that doesn't believe what you believe or vote what you believe or every person that doesn't come to church that we should not be friends with, because there are many times that those are the people that God wants us to invest into, that God wants to use you to be a Bible to them, to be faith to them. But there are sometimes there are people in our lives that we aren't strong enough to lead in the right direction. And every time we're with them, it seems like they lead us the wrong way, that they are like those 10 that go out that just spew, you know, disregard into the world. They just make you feel down, and they pull you down, and they pull you away from faith. They don't challenge you or help you to grow. They do the opposite. They're always negative, and they're pulling you down. And after years of friendship, you've never felt like you've pushed them closer to the Lord. It might be time for a break. That if there's a relationship that pulls you away from God, then it is time for you to say, okay, maybe I should put some distance between us. So that's the first point. If there's a relationship that pulls you away from God on a regular basis, then it's not a providential relationship. It's not doing either of you any good. Number two, don't turn down providential relationships. When God sends someone into your life, no matter how old you are, or what age you're at, or where you are in life, God will use people to help our faith grow. And I don't believe it has to do with how faithful, how spiritual they are. God has used people who I don't even know if believed in him to challenge my faith, to grow my faith. That God does, you don't have to be, you know, a doctor in seminary in order to be a providential relationship to someone. So don't turn down someone who wants to invest in your life, because God may use them and whatever weaknesses, whatever life that they live, to challenge you, to help your faith grow, to help you to see God in a different light. So don't turn down providential relationships. When I first started coming to this church, we added greeting time to the church. I asked, I said, hey, can we do a greeting? And everyone supported it. And then we stopped it for a few weeks because of all the sicknesses that were going around in January. And I had so many people come up and say, so can we start up greeting again? Which made me happy, because the reason we do greeting isn't just so you can say hi, but we do it to create relationships. We do it because relationships are important. We do it so that you can have someone that you see every week, and when you're down, that they can notice. When you're missing, they can notice. That you can create a friendship, because those relationships are God-inspired, God-ordained. Those relationships help us in the highs and lows in life. And in fact, those relationships can help you to grow in faith. So don't turn down providential relationships. Get together with people. You know, create atmospheres. You know, we do greeting and we do Bible studies in the morning, or small groups. I think Les and I are changing. What are we going to call Bible studies now? We're calling it Bible study. What were we calling it before that we didn't like? Sunday school. Okay, we're calling it Bible study, not Sunday school. Sunday school doesn't sound good. Nobody likes school, do they? No, I don't think so. So one of the reasons we do Bible studies, not Sunday school, is because we want people to get to know each other. Yes, we love studying the Word, and it's great to study the Bible together, but it's equally as great to sit around in a group of people who get to know you, because providential relationships grow our faith. So get rid of bad ones, don't turn down good ones. And thirdly, I want to ask you, are you willing to be a faith builder in someone else's life? Are you willing to be a providential relationship in someone else's life, because God wants to use you? And if you're like me, you see people who are hurt, or see people who are down on their luck, or have addictions, or have broken marriages, or broken finances, or missing a job. We see people all the time who are broken. And if you're like me, you say a prayer for them. Dear Lord, please be with so-and-so. Help them to meet you. Help them, Lord. Help them to fix this or fix that. We pray for them. But how many times do you intentionally kind of crash into their lives? It's easy to pray for someone. But I think sometimes God's up there thinking, stop praying for them, and I want you to crash right into their life and make a difference in their life. Praying for them is great. I'm glad we care. But sometimes God wants you to be a providential relationship. You just take that person aside and say, hey, can we go for a coffee sometime? Hey, how are you doing? And not like a American, how are you doing, but please don't tell me how you're doing. But really try to seek, how are you doing? One of the reasons I told you about Pastor James in California, probably the biggest providential relationship I've had, is he would not stop trying to get to know me. Like, I didn't like him when I first went to this church, because we both interviewed for the same job and they gave it to him. He was 10 years older than me and been in the church for 30 years, and I was in Bible college, and they gave him the job and not me, and I was like, Then they found a different job for me because they still like my wife and I, and so I'm like, I don't like this guy. Like, I don't like him. And he would ask me questions, and I'd just give him, like, Noah answers, like, one word, yes, no. Like, I wouldn't let him get to know me, and he kept persisting. And when I did tell him something about me, he didn't forget it. He'd bring it up a couple weeks later and be like, remember when you told me so-and-so about you? What do you think about this? Like, he thought about me and my wife, like, about our ministry. Like, I could tell he didn't just trying to be a pastor that's nice and cordial, but he really wanted to get to know me, and it was hard to say no. It was hard not to open up. It was hard not to be friends with him, because he cared. I really saw that he cared. And it helped me to see how I should care. Wasn't very long after that meeting him that I became a pastor at 23 years old of First Baptist Church of Hollowell. And all of a sudden, I had to care. I had to meet the, you know, 30 or 40 people that were there when I got there and figure them out. I was this young kid and they weren't necessarily that young. How do I show I care? And it was James that helped me to really know them, to dig into people's lives. So pray for people that are broken, but also ask yourself, is there something I can do? Can I crash into their life? Can I be persistent? Can I be a good listener? Because God may, and probably most definitely, wants to use you to be a providential relationship, a faith-building, faith-changing relationship in someone else's life. So be intentional, be available, because this principle found in the Bible, it works. Because your friends determine the direction and quality of your life. That's an Andy Stanley quote. I stole it from him, but it's so good. Your friends determine the direction and quality of your life. One of the ways God wants to grow our faith is through providential relationships. Please stand with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the many relationships that helped me to get here. Help me to know you better. And Lord, I know my faith still has a long ways to go, a long ways to grow. Lord, I pray that we will continue to develop our faith, to have big faith. Lord, I'd rather have us be strong in number and big in faith than have 1,000 people in this church that don't have any faith. Lord, help us to continue to grow our faith, to know that you're with us every step of the way, Lord, whether it's through biblical preaching or now what we've learned, Lord, through relationships with other Christians, with other people in our lives. Lord, help our faith to grow because, Lord, we want to inspire you. We want you to be awestruck. We want you to look down and say, wow, that is powerful faith when you see us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you.